Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to continue Jupiter-Uranus week by doing a little refresh on all 12 whole sign horoscopes. So today will be a good day to check in on the topical area of your birth chart that the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is taking place in to get a reminder of what specific topics are being activated at this time. So that is our agenda for today. Before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe. Share your comments and reflections. If you have a good Jupiter-Uranus story to tell this week or next week, use the hashtag grabbed. Tell us the name of the transit. Tell us your story or email it to us, grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. We will be making a storytelling episode, hopefully highlighting some of the Jupiter-Uranus stories in the next month or two. So you can find a transcript of today's talk on the website, nightlightastrology.com, and you can find transcripts of any of my daily talks there on the blog page as well. A couple of things that we're promoting at the beginning of our program here today. One is the Herbal Apprenticeship Program that Ashley is running starts on April 24th. And I'm going to put it up on the screen. You go over to skyhouseherbs.com, click on the Herbal Foundations Apprenticeship under the Courses tab. There's need-based tuition. If it will help you out, please take advantage of it. You can choose a different tier of tuition that works within your budget. We also have other pricing plans that should meet people where they're at. So check that out. The other thing that I'm promoting right now are a couple of programs coming up at the Nightlight website. Let's go over there. Nightlightastrology.com. Go to the events page, click on live talks. We have tonight Uranus in Love. So if you want to attend the talk this evening, giving a talk from 7 to 9 p.m. on the significations of Uranus in love, sex, and relationships, whether that is through a placement in your birth chart or through a transit to your natal chart, we're studying how Uranus works, what Uranus has to teach us, how to work with Uranus when it comes to love and relationships. You can look back at Neptune and Pluto in love as well. And then looking forward, Neptune in Aries is next month. We're going to look at the 12th house in June. And in July, we're going to look at Uranus and Gemini, two of the big outer planetary shifts that are coming in the next year. The other thing that we're promoting right now is if you go to the first year course, our first year, second year, and horary programs begin in June. Year one is the place to start if you're new to our training programs. Our astrology immersion begins June 16th, 2024. It is a one-year program in ancient Hellenistic astrology. If you stick around after today's content, you can hear me go into further depth and detail about the program. 30 classes on the year. They're all held through live webinars. Everything is recorded. If you can't make it live and host it on a class website, so you can take it at your own time. We do have breakout study sessions led by our staff, as well as a group forum discussion staffed with tutors. Tons of support throughout the duration of the program with the people who are wanting to go professional. There's a whole lot of material there for people who have that kind of intention or people who are just taking it for their own spiritual growth and development, their own hobby. So it's really meant to be taken at the level that makes most sense to you. Early bird payment is up until May 1st. So you only have until May 1st this year. We put a deadline on it. Usually we run it up to the start of the program. May 1st is the deadline for the early bird payment. There's an early bird installment plan that's cheaper than the normal installment plan. So take advantage of those up until May 1st. And then tuition assistance is available all the way up until the start of the program for people who might need a little bit more help. Maybe you're experiencing some financial hardship or, you know, you just have a really tight fixed budget. We understand people are coming from different backgrounds, so be sure to check out the need-based tuition. When you apply, you'll have different options. You can immediately choose within a pricing range that you can sign up for. So anyway, hope to see some of you in class soon. And again, stick around after today's content for more on the upcoming program. All right. Well, it goes without saying that this week has been an exploration of Jupiter and Uranus, and we can see the two planets are coming together. Here we have on Thursday, April 18th, we can see the two planets are already at the 21st degree together there, and so their exact conjunction is underway and will be exact by Saturday. So we can I'll just move this around a little bit there. So you can see the two planets are coming together exactly on Saturday, April 20th, and then they're going to start to separate. They get about 3 degrees apart, not until, like May 5th. So we have a couple of weeks in front of us where this energy will really be felt. And then there's a new moon cycle coming through in the sign of Taurus. That'll be coming through, you know, right around May 8th. And that moon cycle in Taurus sort of reiterates the Jupiter-Uranus dynamic with Venus having moved back into Taurus. So we're going to be working with this energy all the way up until the end of May when Jupiter finally leaves Taurus and enters Gemini, another planetary transit we'll be spending a lot of time with in the month of May. So anyway, we've been looking at this from a variety of different standpoints. And today what I want to do is take some time to refresh on the 12 whole sign horoscopes and those topical domains of life that give us some clues as to where and how Jupiter Uranus will be expressing itself. So really important to take a look at that. These are quick hit horoscopes. If you go back to April's horoscopes with Alex Amorosi, you're going to see that Alex and I break down the horoscopes between the solar eclipse and the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in a lot more depth. This is just so that everyone has a little reminder, because I know some people are newer than others to astrology. And so these topical domains of life may need a little refresher. So we're just going to go through all 12 whole signs, and I recommend listening for your rising sign. If you don't know your rising sign, go to any like Astroseek or what's the astro.com. I don't know. There's a bunch of online calculators. Someone can drop some maybe in the chat section of this, and you just go and look up your birth data and you'll find your rising sign, as long as you know the time of your birth. So for those of you who don't know, just, you know, it'll take you like 3 minutes to go look it up. You'll find that the rising sign is listed in all of the online calculators for you. As I've had someone ask recently, you know, how do I know my rising sign? And take it for granted sometimes. Most people who watch astrology channels sort of know their chart a little bit. But if you don't, that's the way to do it. Anyhow, so I recommend listening for your rising sign. Of course, you could listen to your sun, moon, whatever you like. But the rising sign will configure to the whole sign house version of your birth chart, which is what ancient astrologers looked at. And all horoscopes are based in whole signs. So putting your ascendant, whole sign ascendant ruler on the ascendant, that's the whole sign house system. So it'll correspond with your birth chart and the transits to your birth chart, which is why we think it's so accurate. If you're doing transit tracking, in other words, you'd be using the same chart. Anyhow, Aries. So let's look through this one house at a time. The Jupiter-Uranus conjunction happening in the second house, a place where we are always developing our resources. So you think about money, but you think about income and expenditures as well. Think about anything that could be cultivated as a personal resource, whether that's a skill, an ability, a value, something that you have and hold and possess that adds or enhances the value of your life, your self-esteem. So we're thinking of the place of values and resources as the place in which this revolutionary opening is taking place if you're Aries rising. Now, if you're a Taurus rising, then we are looking at the place of self, identity, body. This is the place where you're literally thinking about the way you look, the way you appear, your psychology, your confidence, even self-esteem, but also your behavior, your psychology, your attitude toward life. And this is constituting a kind of breakthrough with respect to your identity, your health, your sense of direction in life as it is rooted in the evolution of your character. So for Taurus risings, this is a moment of tremendous existential and personal breakthrough. Now, remember that for some Tauruses, this might be about health and very, very physical, while for others, it may be very psychological. And for some, it may include revolutions on both fronts, but it is both a psychological and physical house. So just remember that. All right, let's go forward to Gemini rising. Now, if you're Gemini rising, we take the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, we see it happening in the 12th house. I'm going to actually back this up just a touch so that we get the actual date of... Yeah, here we go. All right. So if you're Gemini rising, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is taking place in the 12th house. That is a place that was described as a kind of a peripheral blind spot. Like it's kind of a place that you can't necessarily see. This would mean that there are the seeds of revolution happening on an unconscious level right now, which is sort of like saying, you know, you're going to have to wait a minute for this gestation in an unconscious space to take place. Or you might be surprised to find that things are coming up out of nowhere that you didn't see, couldn't have anticipated, and they're making themselves known to you now. And because you're seeing them, a kind of revolution is at hand. Now, that revolution in the blind spot of the 12th house could take place really in any part of life. What comes up from the unconscious unexpectedly that shifts us and, you know, kind of pushes us into a revolutionary period of time in our life could connect to home and family. It could connect to relationships, career, finances, friends, beliefs. It's hard to say because the unconscious is connected to every other area of our lives. It could also be so much fun, so fundamentally connected to your sense of identity and selfhood, since it is the cadent house connected to the first house. So a revolution from an unconscious space. You want to pay attention to what is healthy and what is unhealthy in your environment that is also making itself known to you at this time. All right, let's keep going. So for Cancers, we have the revolution happening in the house of friends, groups, allies. We have this conjunction as a moment of revolution and breakthrough with respect to things like colleagues and groups of people that you share similar ambitions, dreams, or aspirations with, networks of friends, people, and community. So there's some really nice spaces opening up there for you right now, connecting you to your dreams and aspirations and other people who can act as allies or friends, and a tremendous opening that's starting to develop in that area for Cancers. All right, so with respect to Leos, we're seeing this in the career house. So your public reputation, your work in the world, your sense of vocation or calling, or whatever engages you with the public sphere of life in general, there is a great, tremendous opening happening right now, a revolution, an awakening, a need to shift the narrative or to break out of established habits, conventions, behaviors, or traditions in order to experiment and do something new. So watch for that energy in the area that connects you to the public world, vocation, career, reputation. For Virgos, this is taking place in the ninth house. The ninth house is that place of the higher mind. So this could be a revolution taking place with respect to your attitudes, beliefs, and disposition toward the world, like my paradigms, my guiding belief structures, thought structures, anything ranging from my ethics to my spiritual or religious points of view, political perspectives. It can also be about those subject matters that are coming in and serving as some kind of awakening. When you study astrology, for example, you are often just catapulted into a whole new experience of life. Or when you study yoga, or when you start getting into meditation, or whatever, when you encounter teachers and teachings, ideas and thoughts, or even when you travel and go and expand your mind or expand your horizons somehow, it changes you as a person. So we're looking at the kind of renaissance or revolution with respect to your understanding, wisdom, learning, travel, and the expansion of your horizons. All right, so let's go to Libra. Places this in the eighth house. In the eighth house, we're talking about soul contracts with other people, the give and take, the exchanges that we have with other people for better or worse, those that bless us, those that we feel trapped and obligated by. That give and take of the eighth house is, it could be a place of debt, but it can also be a place of like inheritance karmically. And so Jupiter-Uranus dynamic right there is creating breakthroughs. If we need to get out of relationships or different kinds of soul contracts with people in order to experience greater freedom, we might be doing so right now, or we might be planting the seeds of revolution such that we're free of bonds that feel entangling, especially the need for freedom in different kinds of soul contracts stands out here. But also the kinds of relationships with other people and what they facilitate that grants us greater freedom that constitutes a breakthrough because someone else is supporting us in some way, or we're supporting someone else in a way that is revolutionary. And, maybe there's a reciprocal dynamic that engages us with someone and it allows us to create a breakthrough. Those are the ways that I would think about it. Also, death and transformation associated with the eighth house, overcoming fears and the need for revolution that involves death and rebirth. All right, so for Scorpio rising, we see Jupiter-Uranus in the seventh house. And for Scorpios, this constitutes a kind of revolutionary quality, a quality of awakening and transformation, the need to break out of conventions, habits, and behaviors that are more established and set in their ways, something that is unconventional, trying to work its way into the realm of relationships, love, sexuality. So you want to watch for this kind of energy of revolution within the sphere of love and relationships, even if that means that something is happening for a spouse or partner that constitutes a revolution. For Sagittarians, we're taking Jupiter and Uranus and putting them into the sixth house. Now, the sixth house is a place of tremendous work, labor, effort, sacrifice, and perseverance, things that we have to work with and through, whether you're building skills through, grueling apprenticeship that you have to work really hard at, or you are having to sacrifice on behalf of things that you care about or feel like are worth fighting for. or you're having to overcome various conditions of hardship, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction suggests a breakthrough. So this is great if you're trying to overcome something and suddenly you feel like you have some resources, or you have, there's good energy that's helping you to overcome various hardships or frustrating circumstances or conditions. On the other hand, this is also great for someone starting to reach a period of accelerated progress within the process of some kind of project or work that has involved a lot of labor and sacrifice. Suddenly you're catching good wind and you're making progress in a way that maybe has been, it's been slow coming. It's like now I'm finally getting some momentum with something that's been requiring a lot of effort. And breakthroughs around health too can be a big thing in the sixth house. All right, with Capricorn rising, we see the energy in the fifth house, place of creativity, pregnancy, children, romance, pleasure. Here, I think about creative breakthroughs, whether that's realizing that you're pregnant or whether that's an art project or somehow channeling more of your inner creative essence and finding outlets for it. Or if it's a breakthrough in terms of starting to prioritize the pleasure body, saying, you know what, I need to give more attention to the experience of pleasure. And it's also about how can I feel creatively fulfilled? So there's some real breakthroughs happening around pleasure, joy, creativity for Capricorns right now. For Aquarians, we see the Jupiter-Uranus dynamic taking place in the fourth house, which is the place of home and family, roots, foundations, your living environment, family karma, things that allow you to release from the world. You come home to your house in the evening from working at the office or something like that, and the home should be a place of rest and release from worldly entanglement and suffering. So Jupiter-Uranus in the fourth house allows for this kind of release and liberation from the world. And it emphasizes that your home should be a place of freedom. Your home should be a place of pleasure. There's revolution happening around the roots of your life, home, family, rest, and a revolution of releasing you from worldly endeavor so that you have a safe, secure, enjoyable home space. All right, so that is Aquarius. And Pisces, last but not least, takes us into the third house, which has to do with the environment that is constant and every day, just like the water is to the fish. Now, this makes the third house a somewhat subliminal place where a Jupiter-Uranus dynamic can be revolutionizing your mind, your thoughts, your emotional patterns, patterns of behavior and communication, psychologically speaking. But it does so by changing things around in the environment, or a change of mood and a change of mind creates a change in the environment, or vice versa. You're thinking about revolution happening in and around you in ways that free you up, that free up the mind, the body, that create change in the environment. It's like something's changing in the fish tank and it will affect the fish, or something's changing with the fish and it will affect the ecosystem they live in. Either way, there's a kind of mutual inflection between who you are, your mind, your body, your emotional life, and the environment around you. And there's a need for revolution in the relationship between yourself and the environment. So watch for that kind of revolution happening, which can also coincide with things like learning, thinking, technology, addition or subtraction of various people or places or things in the environment around you. But it's kind of like you're taking some cosmic feng shui into the space around you, both internally and externally, and looking for new results through this Jupiter-Uranus dynamic. So anyway, that was just a brief tour through the 12 whole signs. You get a really quick reminder of the topics most likely to be seen and noticed in the upcoming transit. So I hope this was useful for you guys. Stick around. We'll have a little bit more content on Jupiter-Uranus tomorrow to end the week. Stick around after I sign off so you can learn more about the upcoming program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. I cannot recommend studying astrology highly enough. When you get into community with people, or even when it becomes something that you're doing in your own private time and space, studying astrology in depth, at your, again, not like it could be as rigorous as you want it to be, but taking the time to move through this program, it is healing on the level of the mind, the body, the intellect. We have designed this program over the years. We fine-tuned it so that people can either, if they want to go professional, they can, or they can take this program because they are ready for a very deep change and a new kind of spiritual focus and a a deepening of your identification with astrology as a spiritual practice. So we want to equip people like yourselves with astrological knowledge so that you can take in content like from people like myself, but you can also be the astrologer. And it's really important that you have that hermeneutic ability to look at symbols and know what you're looking at and have some relationship that's becoming your own at a deeper level. So taking this program is meant to empower you on that level. Anyway, check it out. There's need-based tuition if you are if you're someone who might use that. So be sure to check that out as well. Anyway, have a great day. We'll see you again tomorrow. Hey everyone, thanks for sticking around. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our upcoming program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, my year one course in ancient Hellenistic astrology that begins on June 16th. If you'd like to learn more about it, of course, you can always do some digging and looking at the course page on your own. I'll take you over there right now and walk you through it. But if you want to, you can go over yourself and look. Nightlightastrology.com is the website. Click on the courses tab and go to the first year course. This is the one that begins on June 16th, the perfect place to start for people who would like to learn more about natal astrology from the Hellenistic point of view. So this is a one-year course in Hellenistic astrology, which is the oldest form of astrology, and it is the form from which all subsequent forms of astrology come from. It shares a lot in its roots with ancient Indian astrology. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what characterizes Hellenistic astrology, but just to familiarize you with this page, when you go to the first year course page and scroll down, you can learn more about everything that's included in the course. Some of the main features include 30 classes on the year. These classes are spread out through units of curriculum. And in between the major units of curriculum, we have breakout study sessions led by our tutoring staff. We also have an interactive group forum discussion that is staffed with tutors year-round. You always get your questions answered within 24 hours. So there's a lot of support built into the program as we work our way through the curriculum. We also have recommended reading, listening, optional quizzes, flashcards, bonus lectures, more than you could possibly read in a year, honestly. So we just have a large and long biography and sort of library of suggested bonus content that will fill in blanks and also supplement and deepen the material that we are studying. You get lifetime access to all the recordings. If you cannot attend the webinars live, they meet on the weekends. But if you can't attend them live, then you are welcome to follow along with the recordings, which are made available to you on the class website. So this class meets on Sundays from noon Central to 2 p.m. Central or 1 Eastern to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And you might translate that, I guess, if you're on the West Coast, it would be what, 10 a.m. to noon Pacific time. During the program, in addition to working our way through all of the major curriculum, the major foundational elements of Hellenistic astrology, we place a strong emphasis on preparing ourselves to read charts for other people. Whether this is a hobby for you or something that you are endeavoring to practice professionally, the course is built for people who are really there for a lot of different reasons. This is your hobby. This is your passion. You hope to do this for really no one other than yourself or maybe friends or family or someone who really decides they want to start a practice. You can take this class at whatever level of interest or depth that you want because of the amount of material that we make available to you inside and outside of class. You always have access to the program too, so you can always, you know, take it at your own pace. You can attend live, follow along with the recordings, some combination of both. And then the breakout study sessions are really helpful in addition to our interactive group forum discussion. You can always ask us questions. You can email me anytime with questions. So we have a lot of support in place. Now, the curriculum, we move through the foundational elements of ancient astrology. You may look at the curriculum and say, well, I know something about these things already, but not really, unless you've studied Hellenistic astrology, because the way that ancient astrologers talked about houses, signs, planets, aspects, essential dignities, chart delineation is radically different from what most people learn when they start studying modern astrology. The reason for that is that it's only been in the past couple of decades that we have finally had access to the vast majority of ancient texts on Hellenistic astrology. We were literally missing the bulk of our ancient tradition. So the kind of rebirth or reawakening of ancient astrology is really new, which makes this very exciting because everything you've learned in modern astrology is probably coming from the lens of what is called psychological astrology, which is a way of looking at the birth chart in terms of the planet signs, houses, and the way in which they may relate to your psychological makeup or profile. In this way, birth charts are a little bit like an elaborate Myers-Briggs. So you have the personality profiling, which is the way that most people look at planets, houses, and signs. You'll notice they have my Mars, my Venus, and they think of them as aspects or dimensions of your character and personality. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we utilize much of the same language, and we certainly have that approach available to us in this program because ancient astrologers also looked at the chart in terms of psychological makeup. However, one of the main distinctions between modern astrology and ancient astrology is the emphasis that ancient astrologers placed on prediction. They looked at the chart in terms of a field of karma that defines the native or the individual's fate or destiny. And so we look at houses, signs, planets, aspects as a way of understanding what patterns, themes, and topics are going to be most prevalent and at what times, because they also had a very elaborate system of timing techniques. The year one program is all about learning to read the birth chart and understanding the ancient hermetic sort of Platonic Pythagorean philosophy that was behind the establishment of all of the doctrines and teachings of astrology itself. So it's really about understanding where everything comes from. It's the why behind everything that greatly empowers people when they're learning astrology. It is not nearly the same when you just study lists of adjectives and descriptions for houses, signs, planets, aspects. We want to understand why. Why do we do these things at all? Where did it all come from? And when you understand that, then you have something like a skeleton key by means of which you can access your own creativity, your own intuition, rather than being told, just play these notes in this order and it will sound good. You're learning to improvise. Could anyone ever want to play? Why would you want to play an instrument if someone told you, well, here's how to play. Play this, play this, play that. And you never learned how to play something of your own, or you never learned how to use the scales in ways that were magical and, pertain to your own genie, your own genius. So when we study ancient astrology, one of the main things we're doing is we're taking people beyond anything that they think they've learned about houses, signs, planets, aspects, and we're teaching them where it all came from. And once you have that, then you're really cooking with fire. You have a magical intuitive capacity that is very rare and precious in astrology. So anyway, we move through a lot of different elements, but not in the way that you've ever learned them before. And that's a really important distinction. So anyway, after all of that has been said, in each unit, we spend, maybe up to 10 hours on houses. And then we have a breakout study session, and then we have reading and bonus material. So when we talk about houses in this class, you are learning where the concept of a house ever came from in the first place, what it is, how it works, and how it's different from a sign. You're also going to unlearn and break a lot of bad habits, because not by any intentional ignorance, but modern astrology, being bereft of its ancient textual tradition, has been teaching a lot of things that are just not in line with where the actual theoretical foundations of astrology come from. So you're also going to break some bad habits, which is really good for people who maybe know a little bit about astrology already, but are seeking to clarify and understand theory in the context of the 2000 year history of astrology. So anyway, this class is going to prepare you to read birth charts for other people. But then by the end, one of the great things about the program is that the way we do that is not just by pumping you full of theory and history and philosophy. We are also, in the last portion of the program, inviting live clients into the class. And that's great, because when we have live clients come in, you're going to see me read from them using the theory and techniques that we've been studying. And you're going to see how they can be applied artfully, as well as, giving you some tools and methods and techniques to use to set you up for success. Seeing live astrology practice while studying it is the best way to learn. So the last portion of the program, we turn toward that hands-on approach. Anyway, so that's a bit about the program. If you have any questions you want to ask, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. We're happy to answer any questions you have whatsoever. I also want to point people to the payment options at the bottom. Early bird payment saves you $500 off. That is a great way to save. The payment plan is breaking the tuition into 12 monthly installments. If that works better for you, no worries, you can do that. And then need-based tuition. We, for, you know, many, many years now, dating back to 2010 when I started teaching astrology, I've always had some kind of sliding scale option available for people when studying astrology. Sacred science like this should be accessible to people of all different socioeconomic backgrounds. So we pride ourselves on making sure that there is tuition assistance available so that if your budget doesn't match with the payment price that we ask for, and that's an honest assessment that we trust you to make, that you can take advantage of the tuition assistance and set your price within a sliding scale that we provide for your monthly tuition for 12 months through the program. So please feel free to apply for that if it makes sense to you. We don't want people hurting themselves or overextending themselves. A price that fits your budget is available through the need-based tuition. We just ask that you apply early because we do fill up sometimes. So anyway, that is it. I hope that you will consider studying with us, and thanks for taking time to learn more about the program. See you later.